So he had sent his family, his wife and his, I believe it was his two daughters, across the sea. He had to go back because he was going into Moody Bible Institute to be their pastor, and there was some land that had to be sold for the church. And this was all due to the Great Chicago Fire. He had to turn back and go settle that matter and send his wife and his children on across. As he was settling up matters for the church, a telegram came telling him that the ship had been lost and foundered at sea. All hands were lost. His wife and his children dead. He boarded on the sea on the next ship. And he asked the captain if he had the coordinates where they foundered and the bodies had been recovered and taken over to England. And he asked the captain, he said, "Will you let me know when we get to the place where my wife and my children died?" And he said, "Yes, I will." And so he called him up, and as he was there on the deck, as the sea billows rolled, the man of great sorrow, tragedy had struck his life. He could say, "It is well. It is well with my soul." He went on to serve the Lord in a great and mighty way. But that message still speaks today beyond his grave. Because it is only by the grace of Jesus Christ that it can ever be well with your soul.
Amen.
And we thank God for that well of grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness so deep and so strong. Well, it's very fitting that that song should come up. Because tonight I want to bring you a message about why the storm has come. Why do we find ourselves sometimes in storms? I believe we'll find an answer about that tonight in Jonah chapter 1. Let's look at verse 8 if you have your place there. Please say amen.
Amen.
All right, you don't have to stand. You don't have to read out loud. Just follow along with me. Now remember, this is where Jonah was commissioned by God to go preach to the city of Nineveh. And instead of going to preach at Nineveh, he decided he's going to run from God. So he gets on a boat. I think the Canadians call it a boot or whatever. He gets on a boat and he goes to Tarshish. Tarshish is southern Spain. And if you look at Nineveh and you look at Tarshish, they're a complete opposite direction. So instead of going the way God wants him to go, he gets on a boat to go opposite from where God wants him to be. And so then what happens? A storm comes up. Now he's talked to some of these guys on that boat. They know he's a prophet. But he's told them he's running from God. He was asleep in the hold. And the storm has come and they told him, said, "Look, you got to get up. You got to pray to your God that the storm will leave us alone." They pulled him up on deck. And in verse 8, "Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" There are four questions they ask Jonah, the prophet, the runaway prophet, the man of God. And then I also want you to bear this thought in mind as well in Romans chapter 14, verse 12. The Bible says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Tonight, God being my helper, I want to bring you this message about why the storm has come. You pray with me as we bow our heads. Pray for my voice and pray for ears and hearts to be open to the Word. Father, we thank you for your Word tonight. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful psalms that were sung and played. Lord, we thank you for the sweet, sweet Spirit of God that is in this place, Lord, and moving in our midst. And now, Father, I pray that you'll hide me behind the cross. Put your words in my mouth, Lord, that you'd have me to speak tonight. And Father, in spite of how I sound, Father, may you use this vessel unto your honor tonight. Lord, the old slewfoot has tried to stump me before, but I'm not going to be silenced. As long as I can squeak or eke out your word, I intend to do what you call me to do. And so, Father, I pray tonight for your strength. For, Lord, I know in my own strength I am nothing. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that you will speak through this vessel unto this people tonight. And, Lord, if there is anyone here that needs to make any kind of decision, Lord, I pray that that decision will be made tonight. In Jesus' name, we humbly pray. Amen. I want you to understand something here about Jonah. Jonah is running from God, and he thinks he can get away from running from the Lord. And so what we understand here is that back in verse 6, the shipmaster, the captain, came to Jonah, and they told him. Now notice something. These are heathen men. These are lost people. Jonah is the only one on that boat that knows the true God of all creation. And this storm has racked upon them, and they are doing everything they know what to do. And for sailors, lost sailors, men that don't believe in God just for the fun of it, they talk about their God at sea, and now they are trying to do everything in their power to keep the ship afloat and from breaking apart and from going down in the storm, and they are finding everybody they can to call upon God. You know it's got to be a dire strait. But the reason this storm has come is because Jonah is running from God. Now, folks, you stop and think about that, and you think about other things in the Bible. About where one person did something wrong, and it affected everybody else. I'm thinking about Achan. Achan went in, and God specifically said, don't take anything from Jericho. And he took the Babylonian garment, he took the silver, he took the wedge of gold, and he hid it in his tent, and his family knew all about it. Now, they were not responsible for what Achan did. Achan did this himself. But when the sin was found out, not only did Achan die, he was executed. But his wife, his children, and his flocks and his animal, they were all put to death because they were what we would call today an accessory to that crime. They were all around it. And the children of Israel lost the battle, first battle of Ai, because of the sin of Achan. One person. It behooves us as Christian to look inside of our hearts and lives to make sure we are right with God. In the family of God, we come together. We come together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we must really look inside of our hearts and our minds to make sure we are right with God. Amen. God, what was this? Who is to say that a storm would come upon your life right now because of something that you have done wrong? Because of something that you're dealing with in your life privately by yourself, and suddenly a storm has come and racked upon your life because of something in your life that you are trying to hide. You cannot hide it from God. You will never be able to do that. And so I suggest to you, if this is you, you need to turn now and deal with it before it is too late. And I put before you now, beloved, in this year of our Lord, 2016, in this great year of the election, we see many things happening right now in our country, politically. And things are happening in our country. There is a great storm over America. And I say to you tonight that the reason this storm is here, it is because it is our fault. It is the Christian of these United States of America that this storm has visited our shore here in America. And you say, why is that, preacher? Because number one, we have forgotten our offense. Let me say that again. Point number one is we have forgotten our offense. Notice here what happened. We see that Jonah, in verse 5, is in the hold of the ship, and he is fast asleep. How in the world can you sleep if you are sweating and you're wringing your hand and you're worried and you're concerned? Whenever you have sin in your life, you should be so concerned about it. You should be so convicted about it that you can't have any peace until you make it right with God. But when you and I get comfortable with sin and we are just able to go to sleep after having thought that, thought that, did that, said that, that we know by the Word of God is a sin and it is wicked, it is wrong, it is not in God's plan, it is not in God's will, and we have done or thought or said this, and we can be fine with it and go lay our head down at night and go to sleep in sin, something's wrong.
Amen.
In your life and mind. So Jonah has forgotten his offense. He has been charged by God to go preach the Word of God to a bunch of heathen that are on their way to hell. And any Christian, any person who knows Jesus Christ and the mercy and grace of God should never bat an eye at that and should be willing to do what thus saith the Lord. But Jonah said, I don't want to do that. You got somebody else to do it. I'm going on vacation. So God said, all right, big boy, we'll see about that. You think you're going to go on vacation without me? And here comes the storm. Now they draw straws after he got up, because that's the only way they knew how the fates could determine who's responsible. Well, the lot fell upon Jonah. Does that mean because the fates were looking at... No, no, no. Ain't no such thing as fates. Ain't no such thing as luck. Ain't no such thing as coincidence. No, no, this is, you know, your sin will find you out. Now, these guys, remember, they're all lost. They're on their way to hell. But the fear of God is going to be put in them. So, he has forgotten his offense. I want to share with you tonight a few things about how sometimes we forget our offense. Number one, we have not had the Word. Understand what Jesus said. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The first requirement Jesus says there is that we need to have, H-A-T-H, that means we need to have his commandments. So let's look at His commandments as being His Word. So we have to first and foremost have access to His Word. If you have an NIV, you don't have access to all of the words of God. If you have an ASV from 1901, you do not have access to all the words of God. And there are churches plumb full of preachers tonight that are using the ESV that makes Jesus into a liar. In John chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. There are churches tonight where they're using the NIV that deletes 17 whole verses. Many of them the words of Jesus himself. And they think it's fine. There are Christians tonight that are believing their Bible is the Word of God. But we know that they do not have all of the words of God. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We got it right there. So a lot of people tonight, that's one thing that they don't have. They don't have all of the words of God. Secondly, you watch this now. Secondly, they may have a King James Bible, but it lays on the shelf for 30 years and they never crack it open. That's another way. You don't have the Word of God. To also have the Word of God, it means you've got to actively have it. You've got to be interacting with it each and every day. There are people that know more about their bank account because they balance their checkbook every single day. And if they got a Bible there, they spend theirs for over 17 years and they've never touched it except on Sunday. Because they're not keeping God's Word. They're not having God's Word near them. It doesn't matter to them. It's just another book. It's just another object in their house. And with 88% of Americans having a copy of the Bible, and the average amount of Bibles in an American home is 4, I know I have 8 in my office right now. I can hold church sometimes at my house if I wanted to. I've got plenty of Bibles. I got plenty of resources. But if you have them, it don't do you no good. It's just like if you're if you're going to lock yourself in your pantry and you starve to death. Yeah, that's smart. You got access to food, but you ain't going to eat it. I don't like that. Well, too bad. It's there. Eat it. That's the same thing here. You get an Obadiah. I don't like Obadiah. Too bad. It's the Word of God. Eat it. Partake of it. Read it. God has something there for you. Just wait until we get to 1 Chronicles. All the names. Yeah. There's something in there. Dig in there. A lot of people, they say they have the Word, but they don't have the Word. So one thing we've been guilty of is because we've forgotten our offenses, we don't have the Word. Number two, we don't keep the Word. Jesus again says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." The word "keepeth" there means to obey, to submit to. So a lot of times, we have the Bible, we hear the Bible, it goes in one ear, it goes out the other. We say, "Yeah, I believe the Word of God," but we don't obey. I remember very well my daddy's homemade, "Son, go clean your room. I don't want it. Son, boy, go clean your room." The octave just hit higher. I said, "I know, I got about one more time and it'll be done." I said, "Now watch my car here." And he said, "Son, now, clean your room." I knew when that octave had been hit, I better go. Because the next thing, my mama would be saying, "Creighton Lee Loveless," when that, that's my full name. You better go, you better get. What you done for? You see, God, He will tell us, and He'll tell us, and He'll tell us, and He'll tell us. But He's a gentleman. He'll stand there, and He'll give us enough rope to hang ourselves with. Because sooner or later, He will come out behind the woodshed, and He will wear us out if we are His children. Because when we do not obey, He will wear our hind end out, spiritually speaking. So that's what happens when we don't keep the Word of God. I mean, guys, you think about it. People today are more likely Christian to obey man than they will God. Think about April 15th. It looks like a madhouse at the post office. People trying to get to there to mail their taxes in because they think in their mind, April 16th, a tax man cometh and he's going to throw me in the hooskow. He's going to throw me in jail. You're more afraid of the Internal Revenue Service than God. Super Bowl. Oh, we're not going to miss Super Bowl. Oh, we're going to lose heaven enough. We're going to be there in front of that big screen TV, even if we got to bring that big screen TV inside of the house of God. They're going to compromise to bring the world inside the church over my dead body. But you see, they'll say, Monday, I got to be at work. The people will obey man many times, moreover, they will God. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to tithe. I don't want to pray. I don't want to do this, God. I don't want to do that, God. And so we have the audacity to tell the King of glory and the God of heaven, "I am not going to obey you." But yet we will roll over and bow down and scrape and grovel to the ground, people and men and governments of this world. And here we are back-talking the God of heaven. God forgive us. So we have not had the Word. We've not kept the Word. Thirdly, we've not lived the Word. We've become little gods many times. In Genesis 3:5, the devil said to the woman, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Judges 21:25, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." We have a king, and his name is Jesus Christ. And there are too many times since we have not held on to his commandment. We have not kept his commandment. Therefore, what have we done? We have not lived in according to his word. We have instead tried to live according to our word or their word. And again, this is why we have forgotten our offense. Because we find ourselves many times in the storm. We do. We can't blame it on the world. We can't blame it on that. We can't blame it on that other. We've got to ultimately come back here home to self. We've also, number four, not told the word. Consider what Romans 10 says. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's what a lot of people remember. I well remember Miss Lois That's what she clung on to. She said she got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. And she was legally blind. Some of you remember Miss Lois. I mean, she would have to really walk real slow. But I remember that night preaching. And I said, if you are 99% sure you're saved, you are 100% loved. And she, I'll never forget this as long as I live. She ran. I mean, this legally blind woman. She can't see where she's going. She ran, passed down that aisle, and ran down here. Literally running. And she says, I want to know that I'm safe. And I went over to the gospel with her. And I'll never forget, she, 70-something-year-old woman, she says, I do believe. I am a child of God. 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 She kept saying that over and over and over. Thank be unto God, she made sure that night. And she was born again. Do not gamble your eternity. Because she, and I kept telling her that. I said, what does Romans 10:13 say? For whosoever, that means you, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. I don't care how young, how old you are. If you have doubts, you call upon His name, He will save you. But what we always forget is verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how they believe? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And then everybody points at me and says, that's you, preacher. That's us, guys. He ain't calling you women to the pastor's office. He's saying every one of us, it is our duty, it is our responsibility as Christians to tell the old story. So what happens when everybody expects somebody else to do the job and nobody else is doing it at all? That means salvations are going to be down. That means convictions are going to go down. That means revival is going to go down. And we're seeing that today. Statistics say it takes a church of 100 members 1 year to reach one soul for Christ. And yet we're seeing upwards of 3,500 to 4,000 churches every week in America close their doors. You know why? Because they're not telling the Word. They're not doing the work of God. They've become many, many times nothing more than a social club. Or a rock concert. Either one. And fifthly, we have forgotten our offenses because we have not stood on the Word. In Hebrews 4:2, it says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the Word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. That's the whole key. You've got to mix this Word with faith. If you don't, it ain't going to do you a bit of good. You come here and hear me rant, rave, and preach and hoot and holler all you want to. But if you go away from here and don't mix that with faith, you're not going to grow there, my. You're not going to get anything out of there at all. So because of this failure, because Jonah was not willing to do what God said, because he did not have the Word, he wasn't keeping the Word, he wasn't living the Word, he wasn't telling the Word, and he wasn't standing on the Word, was he? So he forgot his offense. And so he was just laying down, sleeping. He was fine. Nothing bothered him that he had offended the God of heaven and thumbed his nose at God. And now this storm came upon this ship that where he was and everybody else was lost. He hadn't told a soul on that boat about how to trust in the God of heaven. Now 1 Peter 4:17, y'all know this verse. For the time is come, that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So think about this. That judgment hasn't come upon Jonah only. Now the lives of those men, if they die, they're going to hell. Now those men are connected to Jonah's action. Or inaction. So that's what I'm telling you guys. This storm that has come upon America and this ship of state in our country, it hasn't hit us because of the law. It hasn't hit us because the Supreme Court declared sodomy okay. It didn't hit our country because the Supreme Court legalized the murder of babies in the 1970s. No, it has hit our country because the Christian have laid belly up and they have ran away from God. They've ran away from their duty. They've ran away from standing up for the old story and the blood and the cross and the Lamb of God. They said all day long, all year long, that if Forest City would vote and go wet, and vote in liquor, vote in alcohol, that businesses would come in. There were enough people in that First Baptist Church of Forest City and other Christians in these churches out there, they could have overturned that vote. But they didn't. It passed and they kept saying, we would get an Applebee's. We would get this, we would get that. And then what do you suddenly see? One of the biggest chains in the southeast, Ryan's, shutter doors. Right across from the spot near Wally World where they said Applebee's was going to go and never had turned over his first spade of dirt. It's a bunch of lies. To destroy homes and destroy lives. There is no answer in the bottom of a beer can or a beer bottle. And preachers wouldn't preach that. But now they've gone soft. They tiptoe around sin. Because they don't want to lose their precious job. This is not a job to me. This is a calling to me. This is an anointing to me. This is why I'm here, to preach the Word so that you will be fed the Word. And that's why I do this, because I love the flock here in Danieltown and all those who listen. Amen. And who are hungry for the Word of God. We cannot compromise what thus saith the Lord. And that's exactly what Jonah was doing. And because of his inactivity and because of his sin, there was a storm that was endangering the lives of everyone on that ship. Because of his sin. And he was fine with the world. Until he came out and said, when they asked him, notice what they said in verse 8, for whose cause this evil is upon us? You see, guys, the judgment of God doesn't always come upon the lost because of their evil life. They are lost, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to sin. But when you and I go out here and sin and live it up like the world, that's where the confusion is. Because the Bible tells us, for ye have not so learned Christ. We are told in Ephesians 4:22 that you put off concerning the former conversation, that is the lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Guys, I want you to understand, I'm not going to get into it tonight because of time, but I want you to be mindful of this. There is a doctrinal teaching. I haven't got to really get into this deep, but suffice it to say this. This doctrine is called the pivot of believers. P-I-V-O-T. Pivot of believers. And let me explain what that is real quick. It is the ratio in a country of believers versus non-believers. Okay? You say, where can I find that? You go in Genesis chapter 18. Remember when God told Abraham what he was going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah? What did Abraham do? What did he say? What did he beg God? He said, if you find 50 righteous, okay, who are righteous? The same. Okay? He said, if you find 50 righteous, 50 saved people, don't destroy the city. Now, at that time, there were what was called city-states. That means these cities were viewed as countries. Like Athens, Rome, Sparta. Alright, so that's the way you look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were cities. They were countries. And so what you do is, guys, you're looking at the ratio of believers versus lost people. And so he said, okay, if you find 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. He didn't find 10. Now the thing is, we don't know the percentage. We don't know how many people were in Sodom and Gomorrah that were lost. And we don't know how many were saved. It was under 10, we know that. And so here it is. The pivot of believers' doctrine, guys, is this, is that at some point in a nation's life, when there are X number of believers and X number of lost people to a certain ratio, God will cause the destruction of that country. You follow that? So why do you have that ratio? Because why? You go back to what I outlined in the first point. People aren't sharing the gospel. If you share the gospel, God will speak to hearts. People will get saved. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, the Great Commission, people are going to get born again, and the number of saved people will rise, and the number of lost people will go down, won't it? Even consider that. Babies are under grace, aren't they? So we can lump them with the saved. Well, what have we done since 1973? We've murdered the innocent. What is it now? Over 500 million since 1973? My star. Is there any wonder then that America has such a storm upon her banks right now? And the primary reason of this, it is not anyone's fault out there but ours. The churches. The Christian. We have forgotten number two. Not only have we forgotten our offense, but number two. What did they ask Jonah? They said, what is thine occupation? So we have number two, we have forgotten our occupation. All right, Scott, what is your occupation? All right, he's an RN. Eduardo, what about you?
Tire.
All right, mechanic? Yeah. Tire man, all right. Robin, what did you do before you retired? Okay. We've got all kinds of people here who have done all kinds of jobs. Greg, what are you? He's a stocker at Food Lion. All kinds of different jobs. Now, but what are we? If we're saved, we're supposed to be a missionary. Every one of us. Consider Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Again, because remember, out of Romans, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What is our true occupation? We are all to be preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are all, man, woman, boy, girl, all of us are to be somehow sharing the light of Jesus with a lost and dying world. And because we have forgotten our occupation, we see the number of saved people going down, 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 down. Don't we? Yeah. And that is leading to our national destruction in this country. Guys, I'm telling you something. Christianity, I'm moving out of pulpit on this, but you see how close I am. Christianity and conservatism are bound up, intertwined. Alright? I'm telling you right now that there are at least 70 million so-called evangelicals. They say Christian. I don't say Christian because not all the 70 million are all born again believers. Only God knows the heart. But of that number, I think it was in the last election, 20 million went out and voted. You've got 50 million so-called Christians that stayed home. This is how important this election is. And I'll get to that here in just a minute. But I'm telling you right now, if we just saw Scalia die, there'll be others. We got Ginsburg up there. She's kicking in her 80s. She's either going to retire or die one. In the next presidential term, the next president will probably be able to appoint 3 to 4 new Supreme Court justices. If they are liberals, and they are able to interpret the Constitution away from common law and away from Christianity, Judeo-Christian value, then what is that going to mean? Our whole country is going to turn upside down. Furthermore, if things begin to keep shifting, what are you going to see? You're going to see Texas flip and go away from the conservative base. If that happens, what's going to happen? There will never, ever again be another conservative president ever in this country ever again. Christians need to be involved in our process. But I'll hit that in just a minute. I got the cart before the horse. Number three. What did they ask him? They said, "Whence comest thou, David? Whence comest thou?" I say, so what is that? We have forgotten our origin. He said, "Origin. What do you mean?" Okay. Let me hit them real quick. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God." Don't you remember, you are a sinner bound for the pit of hell. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? How about verse 10? "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." None of us are righteous. None of us deserve heaven. None of us deserve Jesus and His blood. Romans 6:23a, "For the wages of sin is death." That's our origin. That's where we were. That's where they are. We need to remember our origin. We were once in the kingdom of darkness. We were once in the kingdom of sin. But I love this. Ephesians 2:4. "But God." That's a sermon in the shelf right there. "But God." Anytime you get "but God," it's going to turn the whole thing around. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." What did He do? Romans 5:8. "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 6:23b. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then Romans 10:9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." You got to remember your origin. Remember, you need to remember where you once were, the road you were on, the highway to hell, and how God in His mercy and His grace picked you up through the nail-scarred hand by the blood of the Lamb of God, put you on the solid rock, and established you and your way and your going. We need to remember that. And see, Jonah, they said, "Where'd you come from?" "I know where I come from. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." What else did they ask him? Point number four. They asked him, "What is thy country? What is thy country?" Now you stop thinking about this now. I put down here number four, that we have forgotten our objective. I just told you that this is a very important election this year. And that's what a lot of people look at. That's the only thing a lot of people look at. They get their mind on USA, USA, USA. For some of us, CSA, CSA. Talking about country, I'll tell you this. What was Jonah the first of? He's the world's first submariner. I threw him overboard and a big whale, big fish swallowed him up. Today, February 17th in 1864, 8 men got in a rigged out boiler, Charleston, South Carolina. They had sighted a Yankee ship of war named the USS Housatonic. They looked through the port and they went underneath the water, and there's a big torpedo on the end of a long bar. So they couldn't shoot them. So this thing is a big old tub of black powder. And so they went under the water by a hand crank. They cranked this thing out from the shore, from South Carolina and Charleston Harbor. They ran that thing into the Housatonic. They began to pull back. The lanyard now is getting taut. The rope is getting tauter and tauter. And suddenly, boom! The torpedo, the black powder, goes off. Bam! It blows a hole in the side of the ship, and the ship sinks. And I think it was like 7 people died. The submarine, the first successful submarine in the history of the world, they pulled back, they flashed the light, the battery marshal, they said, "We're going to come in with the tide. Wait for us." And they never got back. In 2000, the author Clive Cussler, they found the submarine and they found the men's remains. They bought that thing up. And later that year, they had a funeral for the Hunley and her crew. It's amazing. Those men were trying to get a better country. They gave their lives for their cause. But you know, that's what a lot of people think about. They think about their country. Like you go over to England. Hello, Governor. I'm from jolly old England. Well, they talk about Viva la France. You know, the frogs and frog in your throat. Or you talk to the German. Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles, in der Welt. Or, Viva la Mexico. And think about their country. And too many times, you get people today, in this year, in which we find ourselves, fired up about politics. They're fired up about Obama, about Hillary, Bernie, about Trump or Cruz or Rubio, or take your pick. They get more fired up about these clowns than they do about our Heavenly Father. They get more fired up and more passionate about Uncle Sam than they do our Heavenly Father. People will go bang on doors, they will make phone calls. I mean, I'm talking about Christians. They will bang on doors and make phone calls and lick their tongues raw as they go mail mailers out to urge people to vote for their candidate. But what about King Jesus?
Amen.
What about He that never changes? These men, I don't care who they are or the woman out there, they're not going to solve our nation's problem. Jesus will.
Amen.
But here's the thing. We get ourselves focused on the wrong country. Because we've forgotten our objective. What do we find out? By faith in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. What did that say? That said that they might have went back to whence they came. That's what a lot of people have done today. They got their eyes off of the objective. They got their eyes on the wrong country. In verse 16, now watch this. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. I'm not saying we shouldn't be mindful of our duties as Christians, as our civic duty. But what I'm saying is our supreme allegiance does not belong to North Carolina or to these United States of America. It belongs to the kingdom of God and to our supreme ruler, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Remember the objective. Guys, we are strangers down here. We are aliens down here. You talk about illegal immigrants sometimes. We're down here and we don't belong here. This world is not our home. I'm just passing through. Because our home is in heaven. So think about that. When we leave, we want to take in many people with us as we'll go to heaven. Our objective, our true country, our better country. I mean, isn't that why people have wanted to come to America anyhow? It's for a better life. They want a better country. Well, sure, but we want people to come with us to the best country, heaven. Let's remember the objective. And then what happens? Final point. What did they say? They said, of what people art thou? They said, what kind of people are you of? Well, that's our final point that we've forgotten. Many times, beloved, we have forgotten our own. I'm not necessarily talking about our families, but let's remember 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's remember our fellow believers. the fellow Christian. We may go here to Danieltown, but we look up and down the road all around us. There's fellow believers out here. And if we see fellow believers and they're in need, we should do our best to help them. Especially we here, we should be willing to help one another and not forget each other. You know, that's one thing. I know a lot of people don't understand the Masons. But I used to be a Mason years ago. And that's one thing I did like about the Mason. Is when I saw that ring, or I saw that patch, or I saw that square and compass, I knew right away I had a connection with that man. That he was a Mason, I was a brother. We were brothers together. I can tell you stories, one story, about when I was out traveling to other states. I would get in contact with a Mason. And I'd never seen this guy a day in my life. And we would go out, and he would help me. And I might be able to help him. But we had that connection. And guys, that's the way we as Christians are supposed to be. The problem is identifying each other. Well, Jesus said there is one way we sure can identify each other, by our love one for another. And that's why we can't identify each other nowadays. It's because the love of many is waxed cold. We've got to make sure we keep that love going. And if we have love, what will that enable us to do? To forgive each other. To put the kingdom of God first. To seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. To not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And beloved, when you look at this storm upon our country right now, what did they do to Jonah? They threw Jonah overboard. And then the storm stopped. I'm not saying we need to throw Christians overboard. By any means. But I am saying that we need to get things settled. If Jonah would have got right with God, the storm would have went away. But he didn't get right with God, did he? He said, just throw me overboard. So what are you wanting to do, to happen? Are you wanting to be thrown overboard? Or are you wanting rather, let's make this right so we can travel along and witness to these guys on the boat with us? I'd like to see others come to heaven with us and not just be thrown overboard. But think about, guys, while we're in this mess right now. Remember what God told the Hebrews back in Habakkuk 1:13. That He would use a people more wicked than them to bring judgment upon them. When we look at what all we have going on in this country right now. They say, oh, it's the liberal's fault. Oh, it's their fault. Oh, it's their fault. No, maybe God's just giving us what we deserve. Maybe God's giving us our own punishment. Because of how far away we've stranded and went away from the Lord. There's a storm, folks, in our lives, in our country right now. In many churches. And so I encourage you, if you see anything in here that we've forgotten in our hearts and in our lives, turn it around. Get right with God. But if you see everything right between you and God, praise the Lord. And pray for your fellow believer. Pray for your church family. Pray for your pastor and his voice. Pray one for the other. And most of all, pray for the lost. Pray that when we're in those situations like Jonah, when we have an opportunity to share about Jesus, that they won't be wanting to throw us overboard. That they'll want to talk to us about the Savior. Well, beloved, let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes.